Hello and welcome back to Liberty Tactics. We're doing a little super special one here, a little bit of an information video. I've got myself here, Lou Collins, with, as always, my beautiful co-host, Miss Catherine Watkins.
Hello, good afternoon.
And we're honoured that she can find the time out of her crazy schedule to come and do this for us, the one and only Kimberly Isherwood. Hello.
How are you doing, ladies? Are you okay?
We're
Yeah,
good. How are you? We're
good.
much better now. We've heard your amazing little voice.
Oh,
How are
with
things
the
going?
sun there. Not too bad, not too bad. As you just said, really busy, Lou, and now everybody's got issues going on. Everybody needs help. I need to kind of help myself as well amongst that. So just constant, non-stop, non-stop, non-stop.
So, what we're thinking of doing, because it seems there's been a huge influx, and I think Kat, you can concur with this. Of social services issues, people coming in to the family homes and disrupting, taking kids off good, decent people with misinformed. And there are a lot of people out there. We could go on hours and we could get really dark, but I just want to stick to the facts. What we need to know is what people need to do. Let's do first off, they've never had any problems with social services. They are starting maybe to question the education and what their children are learning. Out of the blue, suddenly they've got social services on the door. Or it could be any for any example that all of a sudden they've never had any intrusion with social services, and out of the blue, social services come knocking. What should people do?
Well, the first thing I would do, I would ask if they've made an appointment, and being the appointment holder, I know they wouldn't have. So the fact that they have made an appointment, they will have to make an appointment to come back at a later date. They will say, oh no, I'm here now, blah, blah, blah. But they haven't made that appointment. Okay. So they haven't made an appointment, they cannot come in. Now they can turn up with the police, but the only time they can turn up with the police is if they've got a warrant from the court. So that would mean your children are said to be at real risk, real danger. So only under those circumstances would they come to the door, you know, and you kind of haven't got very far to turn then on that front. But the first thing you need to do is obviously you get an appointment, or if they come with the police, let's just say they've come with the police or they've come for the appointment. You tell them you're going to record absolutely everything. They will tell you you're not allowed to record. They will also say it's against the law to record. However, no such legislation exists. Now, there's no legislation in support of recording. There's no legislation against recording, but there are some guidance out there. And recording just shows good practice, and it's a sensible way to do things. You know, we're all vulnerable to the system, and any professional out there who objects to being recorded, then obviously there's something wrong with them anyway. You don't particularly want to be working with that person. So then social services will have to provide you with somebody who is prepared to be recorded. So what we do is we've got a template letter, and we give people this template letter, and what it pretty much says is, we enclose these guidelines on recording, and I am going to abide by the terms of these record of this guidance. I'm not going to record code. I'm not going to record contact. However, I will be recording every single assessment, every single meeting from here on in. If there is legislation out there that exists to say I cannot record, then please forward that on. So that tells them from the offset you're going to record. Because the confusion out there is some people say yes, you can record, others say you cannot record. Some people say you can use it for court, other people say you cannot use it for court. Now, nobody's wrong because it depends on which court you're in, right? So, to play it safe, you want these recordings. You don't want secret recordings because secret recordings mean you've got to argue their validity in court. You've got to argue if they're allowed to be used in court. So you're not just risking taking these recordings, you're actually risking losing the evidence by doing it secretly. So if first of all we say you're going to be recorded from start to finish, they don't like it, they get a new social worker. It's as simple as that. Everything needs to be recorded. Everybody's vulnerable to the system. Now, if they come knocking your door with, I don't know, a Section 21 or something, they saying, you know, sign the children over, temporary foster care, and then we can deal with whatever's going on. Do not sign anything unless it's under duress. So to sign under duress, you sign with V.C. And this is very important. Now, we've been in a situation where the legal team for local authority have said, but you've not been forced. Because signing under duress, signing with VC means you've been forced to sign. Well, actually, you have been forced to sign because they haven't physically held your hand for you to sign. You're in a situation and a system you're vulnerable to. You're not in any position to make any informed consent whatsoever. They are telling you this needs to be signed now. You feel forced. Therefore, that is signed in duress. And the reason why you should do that is because if something's gone wrong, further down the line, you will be able to hold them accountable. If you have signed stuff and you've signed stuff willingly, you've given them consent to do exactly how they want, whichever, which way they want, you know? So it's just basically you're safeguarding yourself from the off. There's lots of different things that can go on. They come into you for different reasons, different orders, a child in need, child protection. Every single case is going to be different, but they don't come knocking for no reason. Now, even if this reason has been fabricated, there will be a reason for them coming, right? So whether that's triggered in school, in the hospital, with the GP or whatever, there will be a reason for it. And what they don't like to see is you avoiding that reason. They've come for that reason. You need to acknowledge it. Whether you agree with it or not, you always have to acknowledge it. It shows that you're kind of working with them. But what you need to do, like I said, from day one, you safeguard yourself, you record absolutely everything. It's good practice. It's also good for them as well. And find yourself a friend. Find yourself a friend to transcribe these recordings. So when you're transcribing a recording, for those who don't know, say you've got Lou said this, then Kath said this, Kim said, so, you know, you've got it all transcribed like a script, basically. And then that can be used as your evidence. So a lot of people, they'll have a good social worker. Some people will have a horrific social worker. And this is the reason why we're doing this podcast now, is because of the bad social workers out there. Unfortunately, every case that we see, we have to judge based on how much the child is worth, which is really sad. I shouldn't be saying this. In a fair world, in a fair system, these people will only be coming because your child is not being properly cared for. Therefore, we should be assessing these cases based on level of care. Unfortunately, the system's not like that. There are financial incentives on removals. There are financial incentives on adoption as well. So what we will find is, like I said, there'll be that initial trigger why they've come to your door. So very often, if that is a weak reason for them coming to your door, it's not going to stand very long. However, in the meantime, they would have placed something on the case called risk of future emotional harm. There's no real definition of it. They call it the crystal ball theory. And this is the reason why people need to record everything, because this risk of future emotional harm will get added on. It will get added on there somewhere. It's just like a safety mechanism for them. And that's something that confuses people, because what is future emotional harm? You feel you're mortified if a social worker tells you your child is at risk of future emotional harm because of you. You know, so that's another thing people need to be aware of as well. And that will be thrown in the mix. I don't know the reason for that, but it will be thrown in the mix. But that's the best thing to do. You just need to safeguard yourself. You do. You know, they don't have to come in as soon as they knock. They have to make appointments. You are also entitled to an advocate. They will not tell you this, right? So you can have a peer advocate who is your friend or somebody that comes with you to your meetings, helps you, supports you, takes your notes for you. It can be a non-professional advocate. It can be an independent professional advocate. You can, your children can have an advocate as well. A lot of these things they will not make you aware of. But you can find all this stuff in lots of policies throughout the UK, different policies in different countries, but it'll all pretty much come under the different care acts we've got to play. So you are entitled to an advocate, right? Children, they are entitled to an advocate anyway, and that is something you need to push for. Like I said, they will try to give you a list of organisations that they use, but you can use your friend, you can use a family member, you can use whoever you like. There are no specific qualifications to become a peer or non-professional advocate. We all need support in these situations, and we're all entitled to that support. They just won't tell you about it, that's all. You'll find yourself in intimidating situations where you go to meetings, and there can be between 7 and 12 people there, sometimes more. That's why it's important you have that advocate. That's why it's important you've got somebody there for moral support. And as you're going through this process, you build yourself a case. This is massively important, because what you'll hear, a lot of people are concerned that solicitors are corrupt. Well, I don't want to say that now. I want to say, let's just say the solicitor is not corrupt and the solicitor is in your favour. The solicitor can only be as good as the evidence you provide. So you've got to essentially become your own solicitor. And this is what the recordings are about. This is what the information gathering is about. You have to build your own case side by side, even if you do have a fantastic solicitor. So another tip as well, which is really important, if you find yourself in a bit of hot water, you need to do subject access requests. So the first three places that I would always do them is the local authority, the GP and the police, because they take 30 days to come back anyway, a minimum of 30 days, sometimes longer. And you want to build yourself a case. You don't want to find in 6 weeks' time you need a piece of evidence, or they are saying a piece of evidence exists against you. You don't actually have that yourself. It's just kind of, you're gathering this information, you might not need it. So it's better to have it just in case than not at all. Because like a lot of these cases as well, if you're in the process, the social service process, there will be different court orders, different processes, different timescales. You do not want to be caught short. You need to safeguard yourself, be on your toes, and start gathering evidence from the first moment they contact you. If you get yourself in control in that moment, everything will change. The biggest tip of all I can give people is, you have to be calm. You have to be calm. You cannot react to things. This is an emotional roller coaster. They've taken your children. As far as I'm concerned, a normal response would be you're losing your head, all right? You're acting like a lunatic. They're removing your children. As far as I'm concerned, that's normal. They don't feel that stuff is normal. You need to become quite cold in your working with social services, because they will say and do things that will, it's, you know, you're going to react to it. And when you're at risk of losing your children, you know, you're not thinking straight anyway, and you could get yourself in a bit of hot water there. But yeah, you need to stay calm. You need to stay calm. You need to record absolutely everything, safeguard yourself, build a case. And if you do need a solicitor, get one from a different county or different country.
Oh, you're an absolute legend. Thank you, Kim. And you're right. You know, if we don't document everything, they can get a bit railroaded, as you say, with the emotional, that future emotional harm. You know, I've had friends to tell me stuff when their child, after like a supervised visit, when they were taken, you know, when they shouldn't have been taken, but it was a supervised visit. And I think she was only like 18 months at the time. And she sat in the back of the car seat when they took her away after the supervised visit. And she was screaming for her mother, like hands out, grasping, crying her eyes out. And my friend had to sit there, stand there, looking at her and not react to it, like you say. And that it was the most difficult thing she ever had to do, because in reality, you just want to go and grab her and you wouldn't. Do you know what I mean? That's as you say, it's a natural reaction. If somebody came and took my child, oh, wow. You know, but you, Kim, you're absolutely right. Knowing this process now and learning how this works, you do have to stay calm. And that's probably one of the most hardest things about it when you think of what the situation you're in, you know?
I probably should have said that first, to be honest. You have to stay calm. That's what I probably should have said first. Staying calm is the most important thing of all. There was one case I had, and I thought this was going to be difficult. And if she hears this podcast, she's not going to mind me saying this. I won't mention any names. She'll know who she is. There was one girl. She's got additional needs. She's got autism. She's got ADHD. She's a mother of two. Flown off the handle on me a few times on Facebook over at not getting leaflets and things like that. And when her family got into a bit of hot water, then she came to me. And I thought, oh, here we go now. She's flies off the handle anyway. This is going to be difficult. I mean, she's flown off the handle on me for absolutely no reason at all in the past, you know. And so I said to her, you've got to go and do some kind of hypnosis or some kind of therapy. You know, you've got to keep yourself calm. And I just thought, this is going to be a massive battle for this girl. And I kept saying, you've got to stay calm. You've got to stay calm. Do you know what? She actually did it. She managed to keep herself calm in all of these meetings. And she came out the other side so strong, so confident. She came out a different woman because she mastered the art of her own emotions and she could keep herself calm. And if that girl can do it, I know anybody in this world can, because I thought it was going to be a big challenge for her. Because like I said, she flown off the handle on me a few times over silly stuff, stuff, you know, beyond my control. But that was the vital thing for her, and she managed that. I believe that would be the biggest challenge for her. She managed it, and it changed her character. Wow. It really did change her character, you know?
Yeah, it is so vital, isn't it? Because things can escalate, as we all know on this panel, when that happens, you know, it can escalate. You know, there was one case as well. There's somebody I know, and she had done everything that she was told. She did everything to social services tune, and they came round the one day to check the house and whatever and make sure it was all tidy. And the bed was unmade, just the bit thing back. That was it. And when she was in that panel, like you say, with like 12, it was about 12 or 15 people in there. And she had two children, and the social worker stood up and made out that like all of it, she completely lied and just made out that all of her house and all was messy. And she stood up in a temper, just started shouting and screaming, and then they had her kids then for her being aggressive.
And that's it, you see. So like, now they had said that the house was untidy, that all the beds were like this. And the thing is, how can you disprove that if you haven't recorded?
Exactly.
I've got somebody now, and you won't believe it, her house is white, okay? Everything in the house is white and silver. And a reporter's gone into court saying about the house is really dirty. You can eat your food off her floor. But the judge doesn't know that, see, guys? The judge does not know that. All the judge knows is our reporter's gone in, and this is why it is vitally important to record everything. Now, a social worker, if it's a decent human being, has gone into that job to help families and children. So a genuine person is not going to mind being recorded. Because if I'm good at my job, then there's absolutely no reason why I wouldn't want to showcase that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And I just want to also, I mean, you probably know the new figures, but every child the social services take off a child, that local governing council gets X amount of money. Now, I know about 10 years ago, it was about 40 grand for that child. It is huge business. And the one thing that concerns me most, Kimberly, is these social workers, a lot of them, you know, when they're at school, they want to do social work, they want to do it because it's like the trendy thing, isn't it?
We want to go
and help. Half of these kids have probably got unbelievable amount of issues going on at home, but they'll go to college, they will go to university to study all this humanities. They're going to be taught by people generally nowadays who are woke, who believe that there are 72 genders, that men can have babies. They are having this ideology shoved in their head. They're then going out into the community. What happens if they get called to somebody who doesn't have that kind of ideology and it's purely political? bearing in mind these kids might actually have their own issues where they shouldn't be having to go out into other people's homes, removing children when they've got their own stuff going on at home, and some of it could possibly be for political reasons. What happens then, Kim? Because this is the frightening thing for me. You know, my kids are grown up. Thankfully, never I've dodged social terms, never had any interaction with social services, but a lot of people have. And way the world is going at the moment, until things change around, it definitely seems that the rise of kids being taken is on the rise again.
Yeah.
Is this possible? Right,
so, yeah, we've got a new demon at play now, haven't we? It's this whole gender issue that children are being removed on, and that is actually, obviously, it's a new area. You know, it's a new area for us all, okay? So the only thing I could advise on that is, again, you do exactly as I've advised. You record everything. You get a subject access request. You get medical records. Get the medical records for your child before the social services do it. And please, please, please remember that gender critical beliefs are also protected by law. Just because people taught about policy believe one thing, their belief does not make it true. Fight. There are barristers out there willing to fight on gender critical beliefs. There are solicitors out there willing to fight on gender critical beliefs. And there are people out there willing to support you on gender critical beliefs. I cannot say, I cannot give any solid advice on how to keep your child safe once they're in that system and on the gender bender. But all I can say is we all pull together. We fight. We don't turn over. These people will be held accountable further down the line. They are just poorly educated. And it's up to us to educate these people properly. Again, don't go in all guns blazing. It is better to ask questions, which will plant seeds of doubt. There will be good people in there. We've all believed one way once, and our views have changed. And our views didn't change because somebody was screaming in our face. Our views changed because we were questioned on something. It planted a seed and curiosity got it.
Yeah. So mainly at this stage, when you know they're coming knocking, you get yourself prepared. No one else is going to do it for you. Unless you've got huge people around working for you, the solicitors, you love your kids. I mean, firstly, it's so tough because, you know, I'm still shocked that people are still having their kids in schools knowing what they're being taught. I struggle with getting my head around that. But in the case of get yourself sorted with your children, if you are worried, if social services have come around, get prepared. Go and get the medical records. Go and get the school records. Even if you haven't got social services in your life right now, maybe it might be worth once a year getting all of those records. I don't know, do they do it? Many of times? You've always got something there to say, nah, I've got it all. You've always got a reference.
Always create a paper trail. Never, ever answer phone calls. If you do answer phone calls, you follow up with an email. Just to reiterate, we spoke about XYZ. It can be a list. It can be anything. Just always create that paper trail. Because like I said, you can have the best solicitor in the country, but that solicitor is not worth anything if they haven't got the right evidence. What can that solicitor fight? The solicitor is only an expert in law. You are the expert in your life. And that solicitor needs to become an expert in law and your life overnight. They can only do it if you provide the evidence yourself. It's your case. You've got to build it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to have to get off your ass because no one else is going to do it for you.
No,
yeah,
no.
Everybody, all the guys here, Public Child Protection Wales and all of the work they're doing, there's only a few people there. There's only a certain amount they can do. So there's so many people out there. You know, I'm getting messages, obviously, because I used to help people back at times in the column, you know, just guidance from Brian and putting people in touch. But the messages are coming back to me now as well, Kim, you know, on what to do. So mainly what you've got to do, you've got to do some of the work yourselves. People can't do it for you. That's what we're saying. There are people there to give you the support, to give you the guidance. And, you know, there's people on the end of the phone. So if you've done all that and it's gone, it's going further, etc. I mean, we're going to do follow up shows to this. Kim's also going to be doing a load of video recordings. But you've got to do the stuff yourself. You've got to do it yourself.
Well, they said even if you do have a good solicitor, like I said, the solicitor is only as good as the worker you provide anyway. And it's not just about winning the case or getting them off your back. You've got to make sure they're too scared to come knocking your door again without damn good reason.
Yeah.
You know, because knocking your door and pushing you about is easy if you allow it, you know, and they will keep coming back. They'll keep coming back. But you've got to make these people really think, is it worth the paperwork? Is it worth knocking this door? You know, because realistically, people should only be knocking your door if your child, if they are absolutely certain your child is in danger. And nobody's going to object to that. Certainly not me.
And what happens, Kim? I'm sorry. What happens? So say there's a case, say just for instance, there's a young mum. She's, you know, stressed out, mixing with the wrong people, but she does have help from the family and the support there. What if she messes up once? Social services come, take the kids, but the family want to take it on. They then start making this family jump through hoops while the child's still in foster care to get this child back. They come out with stuff, oh, no, you might not be ready because this child might go through trauma, even though the child was never hurt itself. Yeah. Sorry.
That's the risk of future emotional harm.
You're not ready. You're going to have to go on training courses, which they then make you pay.
Well, they shouldn't be making you pay, really.
They're making you pay to go on these things in case there's emotional harm of the child.
Oh, well, this is where they should be providing an advocate, you see, because they give one bit of advice when it's actually not even true. Like, they'll say things like, you can appeal against adoption. That's not true. That's the only thing that cannot be overturned in this country is adoption. You can overturn rape, you can overturn murder, you can't overturn adoption. So it's about getting informed. The things have changed as well. So it's not just a case of you can phone Auntie Gwen and Auntie Gwen can take on little Johnny. Auntie Gwen now has to be assessed. Auntie Gwen has to have a medical. She has to go through her life story. She has to go on the fostering course because it's called kinship fostering. You can't even take on a family member anymore. And I don't think people are aware of this, because if they were aware of it, they wouldn't be phoning social services on each other the way they do, I can assure you.
Yeah,
things
exactly.
Have changed, you know, things have changed now, and it hasn't changed for the better, unfortunately.
No, it really hasn't. It's quite frightening, really, seeing the, you know, when you just think, just locally, we know, you know, there's people around that I know of, people around that we all know of. But then in the wider community, you've got to think that's mirrored. It's got to be mirrored in the wider community. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. It really is heartbreaking. And when you know that people are going through this process and, you know, what could happen potentially, I just put myself in their shoes and think, I just don't know, you know. So this advice is just so valuable. Do you know what I mean? It really is. Because people don't know what to do, Kim, do they? You know, if that happens, there's a lot of reasons why people wouldn't say anything until too far into the process. Yeah. You know, like a bit of shame, or they feel guilty, even though they may not have done anything. They know that, you know, there's people like, oh, there's no smoke without fire and all that sort of stuff. So they're not saying anything. And then it gets to a stage then where it could be too late.
Exactly. And that's what we find a lot of. Now, people don't know I do social service cases. Because they're confidential, so I never ever post about them, even though I get stick, I get people saying you don't do nothing for children in care, but I do these cases, and I've been doing them for a long, long time. But unfortunately, Kath, you've seen, I've literally typed up statements just for the sake of it on occasions, because the parents come after the adoption order's been made.
Too late,
isn't it? There's nowhere else to turn, because they've been gagged from the off as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are going for a very serious process, you know, it's a bit more serious than the assessments, you go into court and stuff like that, you know, you've got to watch for that as well.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to get gagged as soon as you go in there. That's why you need your support network now, not later on. So you need to beat that stigma, you know, because there is stigma associated with having social services. And I was one of those people as well. You know, I was, don't forget, I was a child. My brother was in a care home on and off. I wasn't. And I always wondered why I was left at home. I always thought the system was a good place until I spent time in the youth offenders. You know, I always thought the system was to help people, and I felt that not removing me from home was the wrong thing to do. Now, I'm thankful, because if I was removed from my home and put into care, I don't think I'd have my two children now, because I would become a target as a care leaver.
Yeah. Yeah,
and by that time, I'd been in the Youth Offenders Institute. They would have had a field day with me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? Is that even being in the care system, if, you know, I've got friends who were in care who would then sort of, you know, it's flagged up on a database sort of some kind. Do you know what I mean? And they know, they're aware then of, that's even a problem of somebody being in care. They have no control over that as a child. And then they grow up and have a baby themselves. And so, you know, social services around checking on them because they've been in care as well. And it's like, wow.
Well, I think they should be given extra support if they've been in care and they've got pregnant. Because at the end of the day, if the care system did its job, these people wouldn't be damaged coming out of care.
Exactly. Yeah, they should be all reformed, shouldn't they? The perfect system.
Yeah, because that's a really, really good point.
You know, it's disgusting. It is disgusting. I mean, I can always remember the fears, you know, of older children. They get taken off the family. They go into the children's homes. There is the prime open door for the abuse and the traffickers. And one thing which will stay with me forever, and I'm welling up now just even thinking about it, is a story that John Wedger told. He was called... This young 13-year-old girl, she was in a children's home. The pimps were getting to her. She kept being picked up. Heroin, crack, sexually abused. The mother couldn't cope. That's why she was in the care home. But the mother was pleading with them to get her out of the care homes, because this is where it's happening. This is where it's happening. She needs to go into a secure unit to get dry. This kid's only 11, 12, 13 in that age group. She had to go in. So John Wedger would also, because he was part of a paedophile unit in that area of London, he went to back up to say, this is what's happening. This is what's happening. They're coming into that care home. They're pimping out the girls and they're putting it, she needs to be removed. He managed, he fought God knows how long to get that child out of that situation. She gets into a secure unit.
None of this makes sense. This can't be happening, you know?
Let me finish what happened. So he manages to get her into a secure unit. 2 weeks go past, phone call comes in, child found dead in a phone box in London. They get there, it's that same girl. Do you know what happened? He's like, well, how has this happened? She was in a secure unit. Social services decided that it was she was the only white girl on the ward and it wasn't right for her to be there. And they put her straight back into the care system. And then what happened? She's found dead in a phone box, seriously raped, anally raped, and drugs.
Yeah, this is what's happened to Sarah Pollock's girl down here. I know I can use Sarah's name.
It's the biggest
mind. Sarah's girl was found hanging. Sarah's girl was found hanging, you know, and she was trafficked through the care system. Sarah went to the police, begging the police to remove her from this place. She'd gone out. She, you know, there had been occasions where her daughter was found paralytic in town. Sarah had gone to take her. Social services got, you know, so social services were overriding the mother all the time. And it was just, she ended up dead.
It's the biggest business, and people don't understand. People do not understand.
This is corporate manslaughter.
Yeah.
And Sarah will not stop until she gets corporate manslaughter put on her daughter's death certificate.
That's exactly what it was. This is horrendous.
The thing is, you see, guys, damaged children become damaged adults.
Yeah.
Damaged adults cannot stand up for themselves. They can't question the system. They can't question authority. They are always submissive.
Yeah.
And that's why there is not a good system there for our children. That's why we don't have proper sexual safeguarding. We don't have a proper sentencing system. We don't have proper rehabilitation. We don't have it because they don't want strong adults.
No.
Children are currency. And until people realise children are currency, you know.
And they're the biggest. They're the biggest commodity. They are the biggest commodity.
They are.
They get used and they get used over and over again. When the drugs run out and the guns seize up and the bullets, and children are still there. They are guaranteed. And we are living in a time where we have people in this world that want to abuse. They've always been there, but they're really showing themselves now and they're trying to make it the norm. And the only thing that is standing between your children and them being taken is you and a few people, not many of us, out there that's trying to wake people up. And Kimberly can't do it all on her own. She can't. She's got the team of people. You know, you've got to start doing stuff for yourselves. Kim will be there to fight for every child in this country. But parents, you've got to start doing your own thing. And I'm still rocked by the amount of people who are still allowing their children to go in the school. They can't now say they don't know what's going on in school because we're in a, you know, this is a new term. There's been enough about RSE. The children would have by now come home. The fact that people are still willing to hand their child, their most beautiful organic thing, the most precious thing in the world, over to a group of people who you don't really know. You don't know what their politics are. You don't know what their backgrounds are. You don't know what their home lives. And you're handing your child over there to be taught things that are lies, all towards the total agenda. Wake the hell up, people. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox now. Kat, over to you. Kim, go over to you, Kat, and then we'll close the show. Thanks, Kim. And then we'll get Kim back on to hopefully do another one to what to do if they're already in your lives and how you get rid of them, if you ever can. But Catherine, over to you.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that how important it was really to you what to do, because it's half the battle. It's half the battle of building your own case. And, you know, it really is. I think people just assume that they'll go through this and everything's going to be all right and this, that and the other. And then at the end of it, wow, the most disastrous thing ever happens, you know. And it's not worth thinking about what those parents are left feeling like. And we know what it causes. Again, that's going to be trauma, damaged adults. People commit suicide. Of course, you just lost your child, you know, and you did nothing wrong in those cases where they did nothing wrong, you know, which seems to be a lot of them. So that, for that reason, because there are obviously so many people involved with social services involved for one reason or another, then I think that was extremely valid, top, important advice. So I just take heed, everybody, seriously, and share this audio as far as possible.
Kim, over to you. Thank you for everything that you're doing and how you're trying to help, and I do hope you can come on and we do a second part to this. And I'd also like to do a proper show with you just to find out what's been going, because it's been too long since we've had a full-on update from the Isherwood.
Yeah, no problem at all. It would be an absolute privilege and a pleasure.
Fantastic.
Guys, all you got to do, you really do have to empower yourselves. You know, individuals fighting. Listen, there's far more of us than it is of them. Yes, there's 12 of them against one person in a meeting, but how many families are actually going through this now? And only when you stand up for yourself and you keep them busy will they realise, do you know what I mean, that it's not worth it. It's not worth their time anymore. Only when we become empowered as individuals can we change things, you know?
How do you find out how many families are going through this?
I don't know, because they put on gag orders anyway. This is something we've discussed before, Kath, haven't we? Kath wanted to do an FOI mental injuries. And like I've said, Kath, where do you start? Do you go to local authority for those stats? Do you go to the courts? We will never really know unless we're on the inside and we actually have access to their systems.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Well, Kim, thank you so, so much.
And thank you.
We'll do this again soon. publicchildprotectionwales.org. Hopefully we're going to be doing some stuff during the summer months again, doing a bit of fundraising for everybody down there. I know you've got a skate-a-thon. I'm no good on skate, so there's no chance I'm joining that one. But there's going to be events, I'm sure, coming up through the spring and summer.
Yes, and there's a boxing event in May.
And I need to talk to you about some advocacy training that I'd like to go on.
No problem at all.
But I think that's it. We've got a new show we've got to get ready for tonight. Catherine, any final words from you before we trot off and go and get ready and prepare for the new show?
I'm just going to reiterate to people, build your case from the very, very, very beginning. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Thanks, ladies. LibertyTactics.co.uk, and check out all of our videos. And we've actually got an interview that's just about to be uploaded any minute now with a guy called Gary Waterman, a former police officer who stumbled purely by accident on some fraud that led him down rabbit holes that I was down 10 years ago in regards to money laundering, boiler room companies, and so much more. And this, if this case goes through, it will be the answer to everything. And I think it will blow a lid off of social services as well. It's involved, it can take down the whole thing if he doesn't get wiped out in the meantime, because it's unrefutable evidence, is it not, Catherine?
Yeah, it is. It is really unrefutable. It's like Gordon Bowden, you know, just on another level now, isn't it?
Yeah. And of course, it was Gordon Bowden and I did all the series and brought him to the world, which sadly he's now left, which we think was done to par too quickly. Something else might have happened there. But anywho, that's it. publicchildprotectionwales.org, exposingthelie.info, and libertytactics.co.uk. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.